Next item on the agenda is Mr. and Mrs. Ernest S. Harding, Jr., 08-0711. Mr. Baker, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. and Mrs. Ernest Harding, Jr. request authorization to construct a four-slip community pier at their property situated along Lower Matilda Creek in Westmoreland County. This project is protested by several adjacent property owners and was continued from the January 27, 2009 meeting. The applicant's property is located approximately 1 mile southeast of confluence of the Lower Matilda Creek and the Potomac River, which I'll show you right here. Here's Coles Point, and here's the property right in here. A little closer look, here's Branson Cove, Coles Point, and then Granny Bar Road right in here, and this is the property right along this edge right here. The lot in question is marginal, non-buildable lot, approximately 20 foot wide with only 30 linear feet of waterfront frontage at the creek itself. Lower Matilda Creek is approximately 4,500 feet wide at the proposed location, and it possesses a depth approximately minus 3 feet at mean low water. The proposed community multi-use pier is designed to serve the property owners of and the applicant, as well as three other six non-riparian upland lots in the six lot Harding subdivision that is situated inland behind the existing waterfront lot, which I'll show you, which is right here. This is lots 1 through 4. It's supposed to be for lots 1 through 4. And 335, which is a parcel back in there. There are numerous other private piers along the adjacent and nearby shoreline that serve the bona fide waterfront properties. Mr. Harding is a commercial waterman and uses his brother's facility at Coles Point to moor his commercial boat. His brother's property is approximately 1 mile from the proposed community pier. Mr. Harding originally submitted his joint permit application seeking permission to construct a community fishing pier at this location. The fish pier was designed to serve all six of the lots in the subdivision. Based on the review of the application, the Virginia Department of Health issued a letter indicating that the project was acceptable, provided that no boats at any time were to be moored at that pier. In response to VHD comments, and because Mr. Harding currently hoped to provide the moorings as an inducement for sales of his lots, Mr. Harding called staff and stated that he wanted to moor the boats on the pier and that he wished to install boat lifts on the pier for three of the upland non-riparian lot owners as well as himself. He then submitted revised drawings on August 25, 2008 that changed the use from a community fishing pier to a multi-use pier with an L head containing 4 boat lifts. While the L head was later eliminated to reduce the overall footprint of the pier, given the concerns over an encroachment into the neighbor's riparian area, the 4 boat lifts were retained in the plan. The project is protested by several adjacent and nearby property owners that reside along Matilda Creek. They have expressed concerns over the size and length of the pier when compared to the size and width of the parcel, and feel that the boats will encroach upon their riparian rights while ingressing, egressing, if not while moored. The area is already severely congested, provides no available parking for the people utilizing the pier, and does not identify anyone or association that would be responsible for policing the area. Accordingly to county staff, there had been no easements or legal documents recording and restricted the use of the 3 individual lots in the Harding subdivision, and there is no guarantee that the future that Mr. Harding would not request to expand the community pier to service all 6 waterfront lots in the Harding subdivision. This is the proposed pier location right here. And back here, that wooded area, are the lots that are the non-recurring lot owners. Again, the proposed pier. And the green outline shows the narrow width of the non-buildable lot going back to Granny's Bar Road. Again, here's another aerial showing that. And this is the proposed 4 lifts on that parcel on the pier. The Virginia Institute of Marine Sciences has indicated that the individual cumulative adverse environmental impacts resulting from the community pier can be reduced. In their opinion, the number of slips should be reduced to the minimum required to service the existing buildable waterfront lots in order to minimize the encroachment over the subaqueous bottom. In this case, there are no buildable lots. So it would be recommended that no wet slips be allowed in this community pier. In response to the modified request, however, the Department of Health has recommended that the permit application be approved with several significant restrictions. To qualify for a waiver of the sanitary facility requirements, the restriction stipulated that the users of the pier must live within 1,000 feet of the shore and of the pier, and that they be members of the residents of the Harding subdivision or the bona fide house guests. That boats with installed toilets with overboard discharge or holding tanks be prohibited from mooring at the pier, and no overnight occupancy is allowed at the pier. Since there is no residential structures or any residents of the Harding subdivision at present, and with no association entity to police or oversee compliance with the health department requirements, it isn't clear how this would be enforced. The Department of Environmental Quality, Virginia Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, and Department of Recreation and Conservation have no objections to the proposed project. The Westmoreland County Wetlands Board did not review the project because the pier itself was a private, non-commercial, open-pile pier that fell within the exception provided by 28.213.02 of the Code of Virginia. The county staff reports that the project was unanimously approved by the county's Board of Supervisors, but was protested by one of the adjacent property owners. This shows the lot right here. The width of it is right here. And I think this is one of the protestants on this side. This just shows a little bit about what it looks like, where the pier would be. And the pier would actually straddle this groin right in this area and go out this way. Just showing that. Here are the lots, and it states right here that the lots are for 1 through 4, which are these four, plus parcel 335 in this area, would be utilized, or could utilize this pier right here with only four, which he's requesting four lifts on it. Again, this is the drawings of the four lifts on the pier. It's showing that in the cross section. And this right here shows Granny's Bar Road, and again, the section right here. And this is where the applicant lives. When reviewing community use pier, here's summary recommendations, excuse me. When reviewing community use pier structures, staff typically attempts to assert the number of private piers that could be accommodated along the shoreline of an entire parcel as a way of determining what might be appropriate number of slips. In this case, however, the entire parcel is only 30 feet wide and is not even really a part of a larger overall waterfront residential development. Were the lot to be in a community parcel owned by the association comprised of the individual lot owners, we would still be wrestling with the question of slips versus access. Staff generally supports a community pier approach as a way of providing increased access by upland property owners to the waters of the Commonwealth. Usually the single access point is in lieu of numerous individual private piers in the attempt to provide a central point of water access for the communities with riparian lots. In this case, however, the development is not a waterfront subdivision. The applicant is already a riparian owner himself, and the three boat slips are apparently being offered solely as an inducement for sale of the interior lot in the Harding subdivision. In light of the foregoing, after evaluating the merits of the entire project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205A of the Code of Virginia, and since the lot in question is only 20 foot wide and is not and with no ability to support the requesting improvements, staff recommends the community pier be denied. In this case, it appears that the parcel may only be appropriate for community pier for access.
Any questions of Mr. Bacon by members of the commission? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Van, what is the, I just want to make sure I understand what the current proposed width of the project is. I'm looking at document 2-23, and if that's the scale, it looks like it's a, configured with the four lifts, it's approximately 30 feet wide. Is that what's currently proposed?
If you take the width of the pier is only 6 foot, and then you take a 9-foot beam on each boat, you probably come up close to that.
Right, so it's basically the complete width of the property.
It would be probably that, maybe We try to keep it in that respect, yes, sir.
Thank you.
I see 12, 12, and 6.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 30 feet. Further questions? Mr. Tankard?
And for clarification, you said in your testimony just a minute ago, 20 foot wide, but the literature we've read is 30 foot.
Well, it's 20 foot. Let me show you here a little bit. If you look at this right here, it's 20 foot wide right there. If you take the linear feet, going jagged in, out, back and forth, and everything else, it comes off with approximately 30 linear feet.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Dan. Is the applicant present or represented? Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Trust everyone is well. Good morning. I'm here this morning on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Ernest Harding. My name is John Daniel. Mr. Harding, as Dan indicated, is in fact a working commercial waterman. His wife travels every day to Dahlgren, and they do what they can do to provide for their family, like we all do, as best we can. The Hardings are not land barons, and they're not in the development business. This is not what they do. They work at Dahlgren, and they work the water. They are, however, rich in pride, and they're rich in their heritage. And it was Ernest Harding's forebears at one time who owned most, if not all, of the property, which is known as Granny's Bar. So I want to talk with you, if I could, for a few minutes about property rights and about equities. All of the upland properties adjacent to the riparian property from which Mr. Harding desires to construct this pier were once owned by the Harding family. However, from time to time, in rough times, the family would sell various parcels, mostly to support and sustain their heritage as watermen. But in every case, whether it was by choice or whether it was by circumstance, when property was sold, access to the water was retained. In every case. And it was retained because the family understood that value, not just in terms of economics, but also in terms of tradition, and in terms of heritage, and the ability to access Machota Creek. It was Mr. Harding's grandmother whose 1947 foresight reserved the riparian property associated with this proposal, thus maintaining the connection between Machota Creek and the upland parcels. Mr. Harding has now informally subdivided that property, which was directly connected to the riparian parcels, into 6 lots. 3 of them have been sold, 1 to his brother, again the family, and 2 to non-family members. A 4th lot is reserved now with the name of his 7-year-old daughter on it, for whom he has the same simple expectation that his forebears had for him, that specifically she would have a home at Granny's Bar and the ability to access Machota Creek. My point is this. The upland lots have always been connected to Machota Creek. The riparian parcel which runs to Machota Creek and at the end of which we constructed the pier was reserved and has been reserved for that very purpose. I want to provide to you, it's a little confusing, but I want to provide to you a letter from the former Commissioner of Revenue. I say former, he was commissioner for 49 years, and to be precise, 9 months, if I could.
Please.
Which simply indicates the lineage of the property, how it's been in Mr. Harding's family since long before 1947, and is only evidence to the fact of the comments I've made with regard to the long-term historic ownership of Mr. Harding's forebears to this property. As Mr. Bacon indicated, there's no doubt that Lower Machota Creek at this location is crowded. There are piers and there are moorings for virtually every lot, and most of those are multiple slips, and in some instances, there's even greater mooring capacity than two slips. Contrary to the supposition in the staff report, Mr. Harding will not be back here seeking additional mooring for this site. This is it. And any permits you may issue or to deem appropriate to issue can certainly be conditioned on that fact. Further, Mr. Harding is comfortable with the health department recommendations, specifically that all users would be within 1,000 foot of the pier end. Only residents of the guests will utilize the pier. No boats for toilets or overboard discharges will utilize the pier, nor will there be any overnight mooring, overnight accommodation at the pier. And likewise, he is probably the only one who visits this property on a daily basis and certainly would undertake any responsibilities associated with policing the area. As noted earlier, Mr. Harding would consent to not offering slips to the balance of any future purchaser of other lots should there be future sales. And frankly, the Hardings hope against hope that future sales won't be necessitated. In the end analysis, this case is like so many others that come before this commission. It's about neighbors and it's about neighborhoods. Mr. Harding is opposed today by his neighbors, all of whom have piers, some with multiple slips, and who now seek to deny the same amenities they enjoy to Mr. Harding and a limited few other neighbors, all of whom have legal access and rights to access Pechota Creek. Notwithstanding that at the time that they purchased, they had both actual and constructive notice of the Harding family real property interest. The granting of this permit would be totally consistent with the guidance provided you in your deliberations under 28.2-1205. The benefits for a limited number of Harding subdivision owners are comparable to the existing public benefits which exist. The granting of this permit will not be inconsistent with other reasonable and permissible uses. You've seen the pictures. He wants to do only that which is done consistently along the creek. To the contrary, their use would be fully compatible with the existing uses. There would be no negative impacts to fishing resources, to water quality, or to submerged aquatic vegetation. And again, nothing could frankly be more consistent with the activities, the uses, and the actions of adjacent and nearby properties. In summary, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission, by virtue of the history of the title of this property, the proposed pier would benefit those with legal access and legal rights to access Machota Creek. The proposed use is consistent with existing conditions on the creek, and it's consistent with the acceptable use of Sebaquis property pursuant to 28.2-1205. I would ask that you approve Mr. Harding and Ms. Harding's application, and I'd be pleased to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Any questions for Mr. Daniel by members of the Commission? Mr. Schick?
I could tell by the unusual shape of the property that you would have a good story to go with this, and you hadn't disappointed me. But now, is Mr. Harding willing to take on and sign a letter stating that he would be responsible for all of the concerns that that VIMS and the health department have as far as the maintenance and the compliance of the dock?
I haven't asked him. I could turn around and do that, but I'll answer for him, and he can hit me if I'm wrong. The answer would be most certainly yes. It's consistent with, frankly, his stewardship of that property as it currently exists. As I indicated, he is there daily. Most of the individuals there are not there daily. They're basically they're absentee. These are second homes, except I think in the case of one or two. So he is there every day, and he is more than willing to take on those responsibilities simply as part of his stewardship to that property.
Further questions?
Yes,
Mr. Tankard.
Maybe I missed it. Mr. Daniel, the consistency part that you mentioned with regard to our action, staff testified, with regard to consistency, there would be no peer on our part. No, so I'm trying to follow your argument for the consistency of our action with regard to this application?
Well, I don't think that the, I could be wrong, I don't think that the staff recommendation was that there be no pier, and then consequently that would be consistent. In fact, I think the staff is more than happy, and I don't want to speak for them, but I think in conversation have indicated that, you know, perhaps a pier with two slips here would be something that they could do just by virtue of the riparian ownership, and it would probably be a no-permit necessary circumstance. That's my surmise. It's not there. My point to you is that there are numerous adjacent properties in the immediate area, and you saw slides of them, that have not one but two slips for one scene, for one residence. All Mr. Harding now asks for you is that he be allowed to have four slips for multiple parcels. So in my way of thinking and reading the statute, that's a consistency, albeit it's not one for one or two for two, but if you extrapolate that out, it is, in my view, a consistent position.
Further questions? Mr. Daniel, do your clients wish to testify at this juncture?
Sure.
I'm not suggesting, I'm asking your attorney.
Well, I'll tell you, I think we'd like the ability to come back up.
You're afforded a couple minutes for remand.
And Mr. Harding can testify at that point in time.
That'd be fine.
Thank you.
Is there opposition to the matter? Anyone here in opposition to it? All three of you going to testify? Would you all three stand, please? Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Who's first?
I'm sorry. Right.
You do not need to. I can assure you none of us bite, and we're here to listen to whatever you've got to say. So just proceed and take your time.
My name is Cecilia Sandifer. I own the property in the community where Mr. Harding's 20-foot road is. It's my property. It's a 244 Granny Spar Road, and I reside on the Matote Creek.
Okay.
Mr. Harding's access road is within about 18 inches of my property.
Was your property the picture that was shown by Mr. Bacon?
Okay. Yes. Mr. Harding has not kept up the roadway. My husband and I have always kept up the roadway along with Mr. Luker, who lives on the other side, the south side. I live on the north side. Before you make a decision on the community pier, please consider if you would want a community pier, four slips on a 20-foot road located right by your home. To speed up the proceedings, I would like to have Mr. Lukirk speak for me as well.
Okay. I have one question for you, if I could. Again, I'm not going to bite. When you purchase the property, normally people do their research and try to determine who their neighbors are going to be and what's going to be going on in close proximity to the property.
Right.
Yep, that's why you have certain setback requirements in certain areas. Were you consciously aware when you purchased that access road was where it is, and were you aware of what it could be used for at some future date?
We researched it, and we were advised that the roadway was for the benefit of the Machotic View property owners. Later on, we found out that Mr. Harding apparently owns it. At that time, we had access to it, and because of our petition to not have that pier, Mr. Harding has now thrown us off the property, and we have reconfigured our garage at a great expense, and
okay.
We have no further
okay.
access to that property.
Any questions, lady? Thank you, ma'am. You did just fine.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Who's next? Yes, yes, sir. Come forward, please.
Excuse me. I have a call. My name is Bob Lukert. I own the lot that's on the southern side of this 20-foot right-of-way. And I request that the application to be turned down. And I'm going to shorten it up because Mr. Bacon has really covered a whole lot of what I wanted to talk about. Basically, the situation is simply this. To allow a 100-foot pier at the end of a 20-foot access road really opens up a can of worms, I think, because it makes any 20-foot parcel of road in the county or the state eligible to apply for a pier. In the community right, I don't know how many they are, but in the community right behind us, which is called Ragged Point, it goes out on the Potomac, I went down and counted, and I know there's 12 roads that go down to the Potomac River that all those inland lots, you know, have access to, use of. And there may be 100 or 200 lots, and that's a bunch. I'm not really sure. So it really upsets the RA zoning in that area. The second real question is that this proposal is not a community pier. Mr. Harding retains ownership to the pier and to the access of to the pier, and then he grants lot owners who have purchased land from them access down the 20 feet to the waterfront and now to this proposed pier he wants to build. And he's all, I understand he's also allowed access to other people in the community. That's hearsay. I don't know. People come down and use it. They turn around on my lot. So it seems like activity like this is either bartering, where he asks a premium for his lots in return, he gives access to the water, or if he owns retained ownership of the pier, it seems to me that that's almost a commercial activity. And that brings me to my real proposal. This thing is really an after-the-fact marketing ploy to increase the value of Mr. Harding's interior lots by the use of this 20 feet and now this pier that he proposes to build. I know of one of the lots that was sold that was mentioned here in that deed. I was able to research and find it. He specifically allows, and Mr. Chung is his name, or is that, access to the 20 feet to the water, and then he's going to have access to the pier. So he's promised this stuff, and now he's coming to the board and asking you people to bail him out because he's to get the higher prices for his lots. He's got to furnish these lot owners amenities. And the other thing is, the 20 feet really lies in a subdivision called Machote View, which was plotted in 1947. That's what his attorney bought up. And that's when these waterfront lots were broken off from what remains his property now and sold as six individual lots. Somebody asked, I bought the lot mine in 87. When I bought it, my deed and plat called the 20 feet a right-of-way. In the original subdivision, the 20 feet is called a road, and the plat of the original subdivision says, which was recently created for the use of the people of Machote Creek subdivision. That was the only subdivision down there at that time, so that's who it meant. Over the years, the state came in, bought some land, it's changed around. And in 1994, I believe, it shows up in the courthouse as a parcel belonging to Mr. Harding, known as Parcel B of his interior acreage, filed by a surveyor, I've forgotten his name. On that plat, the surveyor says that his work was done from records on file in his office. It was not done by tape and transit, and that's his outflaws. His statement says he believes it's true, but there may be some other errors in there. The point is that from 1947 until recently, this 20 feet served as the access road to my lot and the Sanders lot. That's how I've used it for the 20 years that I've owned it and the 20 years before me. Recently, Mr. Harding is saying that Sanders and I can't use that road. I have to build now a driveway 300 feet down from this county road to 200 feet county road down to my house. There's no what they call pipe across the sewer line back there because the 20 feet always served as a road in. Over the years, this thing is just there has been application and application, and each one has been a little bit fuzzy. There are little errors in there that never got corrected. And over the years, they have really compounded. Someone up there asked there, how wide is his pier? Well, it's 6 feet wide, and the outriggers are 12 feet. 12, so, yeah, so it's a total of 30 feet. Total width on one of the drawing there of his waterfront is 31 feet. So he is really maxed out. I'm about finished. The only other real problem is a 20-foot stretch of road can't service 100-foot pier. People can't turn around. It's a part-time house for me. I'm not there all the time. So they turn around in my lot. I'm not there. If that's all there was to it, I could live with that. But this, the way the proposal has grown from just local neighborhood use to where Mr. Harding grants use, sells lots and grants use to whoever he can. So that's my request. Based on the above information, the presentation, I request that the proposal be turned down. Thank you.
Any questions of the gentleman? One question from Mr. Schick.
Well, I don't hear well.
That's okay.
You referred to this access as similar accesses in the other part of the county. In fact, aren't those accesses at Coles Point state accesses or county accesses?
I'm told.
Or are they privately owned like this?
That it's private. The state road, it's kind of like the road we're on. It's a dirt road and it goes back and it ends. And the sign says state maintenance and the roads on either side are privately owned. That's my understanding.
You're saying that they are private accesses?
As I know it to be.
They're not public right of ways. That the county.
It's not county. It's private. Like this thing is private.
Further questions?
That's my point.
Thank you, sir.
Right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Deborah Shover, and thank you for this opportunity. I own the piece of the lot 5 just on the other side of the Sanders, so I'm not right on this access road. Others have made my points very clearly, so I'll be brief because to me this does look like it's private land. It'll be a private pier, but it's really commercial because it is being maybe not sold but bartered but used as an incentive to sell the parcels across the street.
Ma'am, I've heard that three different times. Can you please tell me, based on your personal knowledge and under oath, how you know that to be a fact?
That's a good question.
Yes, ma'am.
I've never seen any documents about it. And I guess it's a hearsay, but I know of that Mr. Chong has told people that was his agreement when he bought the land.
Okay, thank
you. And someone else here might have more firsthand knowledge than I do.
Okay, thank you.
So most of my issues have been addressed, and I understand that Mr. Harding is willing to sign a piece of paper saying that he will go by there every day, pick up the trash, and police it. And a piece of paper doesn't really get the job done. There's nothing to stop this from becoming a party stop for random boaters just going by. We have that issue now with people just stopping at our pier. And I do want to say that it is a good story about the Harding's land and their history in the state. And I'm actually not a longtime Virginia person, and so his family goes back farther in this country than my family has even been here. But I do know that both of my parents were government civil servants, and they saved their money, And when the opportunity came and they retired, they were able to buy this piece of property. And our property rights, I think, are diminished by this project. And the Harding history, to me, should not figure into any decision on this. And that's what we want to do here is be good stewards and maintain our property, and I hope that you will make a decision that is in the long-term good of the Commonwealth. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Thank you very much, ma'am. Anyone else in opposition? Mr. Daniel, if you'd like a couple minutes to rebut.
Please.
I think I used the term remand a little earlier. I guess I've got something else on my mind, but anyway.
Right. Thank you. As I said, it's about neighbors and it's about neighborhoods. The Sandifers, who spoke to you first, you know, whether or not their research was good or not when they purchased the property, they bought a property 15 inches from somebody else's property who had access to it, used it on a daily basis, and so consequently, I think in a logical sense, they certainly should have known that this was not a 20-foot parcel or strip that was there for their use. I'm sure it didn't show up in their deed, and that's the way we transfer property, just by deed. Notwithstanding that, the Sandifers went ahead and they built their driveway on it. They built a garage on it. They used that as their personal property, as their real property, for purposes of accessing their garage. Now they're here because they're upset that they don't get to do that. And as they said, unfortunately, they had to expend a fair amount of money, I'm sure, in order to relocate their entrance to their garage. That was perfectly within Mr. Harding's rights as the property owner of that parcel. We've talked about 20 foot. As you turn off Granny Bar Road to the right and into that, I think it is 20 foot. But to the point that I'm sure you all are thinking about, when you get to the waterfront, from pin to pin, based on the Bayshore Design Survey and other, there is 32 feet. It's not 20 feet. It's not 31 feet. It's 32 feet. And the engineers at Bayshore have designed this to fit within that riparian frontage. There were some comments quickly about, this not being a community pier. It's a commercial pier. It's not. There's no food or beverage or bait or tackle or anything else. This is the same pier that the people who spoke to you just prior to my coming back up here have for their own personal use, and they get to use and enjoy and have access to the creek. Those properties, frankly, impact the property. I guess it was Mr. Lucas' property. Is immediately adjacent to Mr. Harding's property. The seawall at that property is in total disrepair. It has created a breach which has allowed the tidal flow to backwash it and basically begun to tear out Mr. Harding's seawall, which he had, as I indicated to you in his stewardship recently, had remaintained. So I'd only say to you, it's certainly not any kind of commercial enterprise. And the final gentlelady who spoke to you indicated that it was nice to talk about the Harding family's relationship to the creek and the relationship of these lots to this access point to Machota Creek, but it ought not to be about that. Well, it's all about property rights. I mean, that's why we're here. It's all about who has access. Mr. Harding clearly has access. We don't visualize this, and if you wanted to condition any permit that there wouldn't be vehicular traffic using that 20 foot, that's fine too. These people are not going to, there's no boat ramp here. You're not going to back up and launch a boat. It's a fairly steep incline. Boats are going to have to be launched at other locations, and they may be moved around there. But this is basically a pedestrian path of 20 feet. And frankly, in our neighborhood, you know, would be better off if everybody understood that and utilized it in that vein. And perhaps some of the rifts that we've heard about and seen may not take place. So I'm going to stop. Again, would be pleased to answer any questions that you might have. But I would once again ask you to think and deliberate hard, and I trust your decision will be to issue the permit that Mr. Harding and Ms. Harding have made application to you for. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Counselor. Dr. McConaughey has a question for you, sir.
Mr. Daniels, I am a little confused. One of the opponents said something about it was platted as a road, and has it ever been platted as a road? Because in paragraph 3 of what you handed out, it says it's a secondary state highway.
And I don't know what the date on Mr. Beal's letter is, but there is a privately maintained road, not a privately maintained. I'm sorry. There was a prescriptive right given to VDOT by the Harding family for that road. If that right were to relinquish, the property would then be theirs. Notwithstanding that, the fee beneath that prescriptive right remains in the Harding family, frankly, the generosity of the Harding family in granting, I think it's 735, is it State Route 735, there would be no access for the rest of these lots. They would have to literally get permission from Mr. Harding, but contrary to that, the VDOT does maintain, not all the way down to the point, but probably about 125 feet beyond the entrance to this access point.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Daniel.
Thank you.
The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Schick.
It's apparent that that the pier can be constructed in its length and its width. As a private pier on its own. So the question of whether the pier can be there or not is not what we're looking at. And there could be two slips there as a private pier. His brother is obtaining another lot. Quite frequently we do allow piers to have two or more users without being in a homeowners association or commercial marina. So this is not inconsistent with some of the things that we've done before. I think when something gets named a community pier, people associate it with that, with townhouse community or condos or some type of recreation center where there's pools and things like that. But quite frequently we do have basically private piers with multi-users, and that's what this is. The access is contiguous to the other pieces of property, and I see that this is a congested area, but that's by nature of the way this place down there is developed. Just because a lot of people have other docks that they get to enjoy doesn't mean that this gentleman shouldn't have an option to be able to have a pier also. So I would like to move that we accept this application with the restriction that no automobile access would be allowed down the road.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'd like to add it would just be four lots.
Yeah.
Limited
to four lots, yes.
A second.
Four lots of four.
Well, four
slips.
Four slips that would be but that would be assigned to four lots. So this is not a thing of where, you know, all the lots get to you know, trade on using the four slips. This would be four users, four slips, four lots.
Okay. Motion made and second. Further discussion? Mr. Tankard, then Mr. Robbins.
I think there are a couple things we need to keep in mind here. I think one of them, when we look at 28.2.1205A, we see that there is a clear need to take into account adjacent or nearby property owners. And I think we've heard from adjacent and nearby property owners that this is not something that they look forward to seeing progress any further than we have it today. I think also the point of consistency here is an issue for us. There really is no buildable lot here that would have riparian, have a dock associated with it, and staff has recommended as such that we deny. And so I think for the reasons of the letter of the law and consistency on our part that we deny the motion as we have it before us here today.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share some of the same concerns as both of my colleagues that have spoken. I agree with Mr. Schick that as a property owner, they do have a right to wharf out under the law. I think they have the ability to build a pier, and I think that aspect of the project is perfectly acceptable. I think the more difficult question is clearly the proposed lifts, and physically, I think physically it's possible to do it without significantly impairing the use of the waterway by the adjacent property owners, because this is in a convex part of the shoreline. So I think on the one hand it can be done physically. My bigger concern is a policy concern, really, in terms of precedent. And as you look back through what we've done in the past, we've typically limited community piers to two lifts or two slips per possible waterfront single-family home that could be developed on the shoreline. And in this case, it's not a buildable lot. So if we allow the slips, we are departing from past policy. We have departed from that policy in the past, though, I believe, in cases where we had extraordinary circumstances. And as Mr. Schick pointed out early on, that there is quite a story behind this property and that the family has owned it since the 1920s. And I think if we as a commission are going to support the project, it needs to be very clear. And I would, in fact, encourage the maker of the motion to add some justification to it or rationale that would specifically preserve our policy and document that this, if it is approved, does not establish precedent for departing from that, but in fact is based on the actual circumstances of the fact that the property has been owned since the 1920s, and that was part of the plan for access by this family. I just think that needs to be part of the rationale if the commission does approve it.
I would accept that, and that is the principal reason why I think this is different than most cases. This is not as I stated, this is not a simple real estate development for a community. This is a simple multi-using facet for a dock that essentially is a private dock. But our regulations call it a community pier, and it has to fit under that. And so this is different than most situations that we've seen here. And I respect the staff's comments, and it is an unusual situation, and it sheds a lot of light on both sides of the question. But yeah, I'll take that to my
further comments, Mr. Tankard.
I would, with respect to members of the commission, I would say that ownership. I don't see anything in the code that might let us know that, or say that ownership for a period of time, however long, has some type of exclusive rights that would bestow upon past owners of property of this sort. Again, I don't think this motion has any merit.
All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. Mr. Bowden?
Aye.
Mr. Fox is absent. Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Dr. McConaughey?
No.
Mr. Robbins?
Aye.
Mr. Schick?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
No.
It appears I'm going to vote for the project, which will not do the project any good because it's going to fall on defeat because of a tie vote. Let me tell you where I'm coming from as far as my vote's concerned. I believe that if you go start from the beginning where I asked the questions about the knowledge as far as the access road is concerned, as far as the concerns that were raised or the assert, I'm sorry.
Did you say time vote?
Yes. Wait a minute. Well, it will pass. Thank you for the help. So I'm going to continue to explain my rationale. I think all along the homeowners had a right or obligation to do the research as far as the path was concerned. I think for many years they used that piece of property to their best interest without intervention, and also believe that the pier could be constructed, and what is at hand is whether or not the number of slips is 2 or 4, and I don't believe that the additional slips cause that much of an encroachment. Sorry for the miscount, and sorry for that, motion passes.
Thank you.